deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Everyone, welcome to episode 62 of Flashpoint. So sorry again for the extra week delay. It's all my fault, but we're back and we're in the middle or at the first third of an election campaign. So we're here to give you some respite. And as always, I have two great co-hosts with me. First, we have the Minister for Minecraft, Simon Potter. How are you?
I'm well. And welcome everyone to the podcast that still doesn't have a snappy catchphrase.
Yeah, we'll have to work on that.
Yeah.
And the Minister for Rift, Christy.
Hello.
And if only we got paid ministerial wages to do this.
I want the perks.
Yes, we'd have to lift the quality though if we're going to be paid for it. But
yeah, but
really, compared to our current politicians,
it'd have to be pocket sarlacs if we were going to be politicians though.
Pockets, yeah, okay. We're going back to pocket sarlacs. Can never get enough of them.
Nope.
All right, so we've got, look, Sarlacc's a nice segue into the first part, as always, of our podcast, which is Star Wars The Old Republic with Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, Republic News.
It's a bit hard to go past the 2.3 update as one of the bigger pieces of news over the last few weeks, and it went live with the last server update this past few days. I'm going to plead guilty to having not played the game since 2.3 has gone live. I've been caught up with a bunch of things and travelled on the weekend, so I'm hanging to have a go. Simon, I know you've been playing a bit of Star Wars The Old Republic. Have you had a chance since 2.3 went live?
Not to play any of the new content, no, but I have been hearing a lot of very positive things about the new content and it just being fun. So that's, I haven't heard anything bad at this point. And usually if there is anything, there's the high-pitched whine on the forums. But no, so far, so good. The thing, I suppose, that everyone's noticed by now is the new color changes that came in with 2.3. The saturating, desaturating, improvement of contrast, improvement of vibrancy and so forth. I actually have noticed that in a couple of locations where the scenes just seem deeper and less murky. I don't know if you guys noticed any of that?
No, but see, I'm hanging to because I know that was one of the promised improvements, so I just love stuff like that. Anything that makes it pretty to look at, I'm always up for.
Yeah, well, it's definitely worked. I really noticed it when I was running back into the Bounty Hunter hangar. Oh, it's hard to say. And I just actually had to stop and I just had to stop and look at my ship and thought, wow, that really looks good. It just, it's hard to describe. It just looked sharper and cleaner and richer. It's not just simply the colors were brighter and more saturated. It just looked sharper, and I suppose because the blacks were blacker, but it still fades off a bit. You got a greater sense of depth from it, which, looking back, the game did sometimes look kind of murky.
Yeah.
In places. I'm not sure why, but it's definitely worked, and it's definitely noticeable. So it was one of those things I thought, did you really need to waste your time with this? But I think it's adding to it's a quality of life improvement, and I think it's well worth doing or having done.
Good stuff. Yeah, hanging to have a look at that. Christy, I know you haven't had a chance to play a lot of Star Wars. You've been rifting your butt off. but anything you want to comment on 2.3?
I'm afraid not. I did play a little, but I re-rolled again because I wanted a cat person. So, and then I brought some money, well, credits, and then I spent them all. So, yeah, I'm going well. I think I've spent about $40 on Star Wars, and maybe I'm only level 10. So, so they're really making their money out of me.
Good. That's what it's about.
It's all well worth it. But, of course, we'll just go off on a tangent here. Of course, one of the upcoming things is going to be you being able to buy cartel coins in-game rather than having to go to the website and do it externally. And, of course, subscribers get 50% off their first cartel coin purchase.
Oh, nice.
It comes in. Oh. So, obviously, we're
going to have to subscribe and then buy. Nice.
Is there any limit on the 50% as far as the maximum purchase?
Well, the limit would be the biggest bundle. What is that? It's the not oh shit.
Oh, anyway, yeah, that's cool.
It's the largest chunk of cartel coins. I can't remember what it is, but I think it will cost you like with the 50% off, and it will cost you about $30.
And I know that's been coming
could be well
for a while.
Worth it.
I mean, it's a no-brainer to do that because the lower the barrier for purchasing, the more people are going to purchase. And I know I fall in that. There's actually a couple of times I've thought about buying more cartel coins rather than waiting for my monthly allowance to come through. And the reason I haven't is that every time I think of it, I'm playing the game and, yeah, having to go to the website and do all that crap. I just don't bother.
Yeah.
So the biggest deal is $40, and that gives you $5,500. So take that off for $20, put a sub on top of that is what, $35? So you're still saving $5, and you get a month's subscription.
Yep. And, of course, you'll also, as a subscriber, be able to pursue the subscriber-only Tundra Tauntaun.
Cool.
Otherwise, you can just be a one of the plebs and get the mountain one.
See, that's what happened. I was playing Star Wars because of the Tauntaun mount, and then I went and played some Rift because my guildmates were bugging me, and then Rift has an actual pretty much a Tauntaun mount, and so I brought that one, and then that's how I stopped playing Star Wars and started playing Rift. So I don't know if that's yay for try-on, for stealing someone else's creative idea or not.
Well, you can come back into Star Wars and you can get the real thing, but the subscriber version. I mean, I was a little irked that the end of July subscriber appreciation thing never arrived, but I'm thinking the 50% off and getting a subscriber-only Tauntaun, that's sort of making me feel better.
Yeah, it partially addresses the issue for sure. So, yeah, so 2.3. So we promise by next podcast that we'll have both. I know I will. I'm hanging to get my trooper close to level 40 by next time with a bit of luck, so it might make me fire up my bloody consular and try some of the new content. So
you're going to have to just participate in the bounty contract.
Yeah, that's right,
because have you been up to the cartel bazaar on the upper level?
With my consular, no.
Or with anyone?
No, I don't. No, I haven't.
Ah, okay. Well, when you go to the, what's it called, Carrick Station for the Republic?
Yep.
If you go to the north entrance, the north elevator, that'll take you up to the bazaar and you can have a look around. You might want to brush up on your Orabesh, though, just so you can read the signs.
I did it in high school.
Oh, okay. That's all right then.
I did 3-unit Orabesh. Orabesh. Anyway, I'm pretending I know about shit I don't, so let's move on. The class rep, we mentioned, I'm pretty sure it was last episode, I think the one before possibly too, that that there was this new initiative from BioWare to have one person essentially listed as a class rep on the forums, and then they would seek feedback from the wider forums to post some really specific questions to BioWare about the particular classes. So those answers have started being released, and no matter what class you are, I think, how many? There's two or three of them. as far as two or three, and then you, so you're really looking at four or six with the mirror classes. I think there's two lots that have been released.
The Sniper and Sentinel had their turn on the 2nd of August. Sorcerer and the Vanguard have theirs on the 16th of this month, and then the Scoundrel and Juggernaut are on the 30th. So, and obviously, whatever answers those guys get, their, as you say, their mirror classes all get an in-kind mirrored response.
Yeah.
So you're sort of doubling your pleasure, pretty much. Everyone's getting twice as many answers, even if they're not questions they wanted posed, I suppose.
Right. Yeah, and I mean, the detail of them are quite good. I mean, I was having a browse through the Smuggler one from... It was the Smuggler one. As a bit of a sentimental thing to my beta character, because I haven't touched a Smuggler since. But the level of detail... Yeah, it's really good. I mean, part of it's a bit of a, you know, we've got plans for this in the future, but there's some really good nitty-gritty stuff addressing particular or criticisms or questions about, you know, particular buffs or abilities or so on.
There's a bit of that sort of coming soon trademark going on. But there's also, I think, the other sort of response they seem to be giving is the... well, yes, we know that it's like this and blah, 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 and we could do that, but if we did that, then you'd end up losing something else on this, and would you really want that? In other words, you think it's okay, and hopefully you'll accept this explanation and understand why it's okay.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, they've been up...
It's fair enough.
Yeah, they've been up front where things aren't working. I mean, one small example, Dirty Fighting... you know, we're not completely satisfied with it. They state that outright. So, and there's a whole bunch of those examples. So they're flagging where they can see improvements need to be made, and you know, they've made them publicly, so they should be fixed.
Hmm.
Christy, any stuff on the class stuff? Have you had a chance to have a look through it?
I haven't. No, sorry. I'm blaming study.
Yeah. Fair enough too. And then speaking of talking to the community, there's the community cantina tour. Actually, the first community cantina stop was last Friday. And I actually haven't done any deep research, which may surprise the hell out of your listeners, but I haven't done any deep research as to what was covered there and you know, was there anything of particular interest. But from what I have looked at, I don't think much has come out of it. But for those overseas, there's, you know, one on the 23rd of August in lovely Cologne. I nearly said Cologne in France. How embarrassing is that? Cologne in Germany. Luckily, I read down. That's embarrassing. And then on the 31st of August at good old PAX Prime in Seattle. It won't be as good as PAX Oz, though.
No,
it would actually have people there, you know, from publishers and AAA game developers and all that sort of stuff.
Hey, our PAX rocked.
It did.
As you know.
For a first one, and I mean, but it's a valid point. I would hope things like the community cantina tour would be at PAX Oz next year. And I understand travel expenses are significant, but they're not that bloody significant.
My biggest fear is that if the big names don't come next year, then there isn't going to be a year after. Because as much as it's awesome, and I think everyone there did have a wonderful time, and I don't think anyone regrets it, it still seemed to lack what a PAX is meant to be.
I
kind of felt like an awesome supernova, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true to a point, but from what I was able to tell, and I mean, the panels of, well, the one panel I did get into, it was obvious that the folks from BioWare were pretty blown away just by the number of people and the level of interest and the intensity of interest. I'm pretty confident that we are going to see more next time. I would be very, very surprised if we didn't.
Yeah. Or they'll just list the ATM line as a panel, so it looks like they've got more panels.
It's like the panel that never ends.
Yeah, that's right, the financial panel.
That like the song that never ends.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I'm going to have that stuck in my head now.
That was the idea. That's your punishment.
Yeah, that's right. And the last bit of Star Wars The Old Republic I thought we'd talk about with a big nod to you, Simon, because I had no idea of this, was apparently there's something happening around Recruit a Friend again.
Yeah, they've bumped up the rewards for Recruit a Friend, even though I was really having a lot of difficulty remembering what the damn thing was called. and I'm now trying to desperately find the relevant page.
Oh, let's just make it up. So you get 50,000 cartel coins if you sign up.
Yeah, you get a solid gold Ewok.
Or pocket size.
So I can sign you guys up, right? Yeah? Yeah?
No, it's no. New sub, sorry.
Yeah, you guys can make a new sub.
So double sub, yeah, that appeals big time. Oh, if I get a vibrating gold pocket Sarlacc, though, I'm up for it.
I'm guessing to get the rewards, they do actually have to sub up.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
They can't just buy coins.
Nope.
That's fair enough. Yeah.
Sorry about that. I did have that information in front of me, and it's not. But go to the SOTOR website because it's all there. And if there's anyone that you can, you can get people who have been unsubbed for 90 days, who have been away from the game for 90 days, you can benefit from that, and they can certainly benefit from that. So it's well worth checking out if you haven't already.
Indeed. I'm sure. People forgive us for this odd episode where we haven't done deep research, given that every other time we have.
I don't have any friends, so I mean it's only a superficial interest.
It's academic
anyway.
Interest. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You get 500 coins, and then you get 100 coins for every single month after. So it's like you keep getting a little wage.
Okay.
As long as I keep subscribing.
So that if you're a subscriber, that knocks you up to 700 a month. That's not. Yeah, that's quite good.
Yeah, so let me see, 100. So if you're getting 100 a month, in a little under 2 years, you'll almost have enough for Treek.
You just got to get more and more friends. I mean, if you subscribe 10 people and they keep playing, paying, then, you know, that's 1,000 coins every month.
2,100 cartel coins for Treek. That is for the mercenary contract for Treek. That is, I think that's a bit rough.
Whereas, look, I will happily take out a double or triple subscription if it helps me earn towards a lumpy companion in-game.
Consider Treek lumpy.
Yeah, will well, you? They're very
Please.
Similar.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's still not lumpy. But anyway.
But the annoying I had a look at that. I did actually do some preparation. But Origin, the standard digital edition of the Old Republic is $14.99 US.
Okay, jeez, that's
yeah, $14.99. Treek is it's $20 for 2,400 cartel coins. So Treek is actually more expensive than the actual game, not including McKeb. So what the freaking hell's that about?
Yeah, you're right. That really shows how ridiculous that is.
That's just a bit. That's a bit. Anyway, yeah, I just wanted to make that point.
So I think we'll call this episode the Gold Plated Treek Edition.
Wait, is it vibrating?
The vibrating gold plated Treek. Yeah, I like that. It's even better. So that's one of the.
Does everything have to be a double entendre? Or a single entendre?
Only about 95%.
Okay. I go for triple entendre, but that's who I am. The Oceanic servers are closed now, aren't they?
Yeah,
that happened a couple of weeks ago?
No, the consolidation is about to occur.
They're shutting down this Tuesday. I think the servers in the APAC and West Coast will be going down 10 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And they're not coming up again until 10 a.m. So they're down for 12 hours. Well, obviously, the West Coast servers are down for 12 hours and the APAC servers are down forever. Just to clarify.
And so, you know, Vale to our short-lived... What do we get a year out of?
Over a year. Yeah, it wouldn't be much over a year, though.
Yeah, I thought
it survived longer than Warhammer did. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because the Australian ones were delayed. Yes. Oh, I remember that frustration.
I'm sure they're going to be repurposed for servicing local SimCity people.
Yeah, which I'm actually about to buy.
Wow, wow.
Wash your mouth out with soap.
I obviously play a lot of PC gaming now, but I still, my main rig's a Mac, and so I've waited for the Mac version, which is due out end of this month. So I actually am going to give it a go. But, yeah, I feel like we should have some sort of ceremony for the three servers, which I obviously know Dalboro, and it's Master Darnala, and what's the third one? I'm having a mental blank.
It doesn't matter.
No, that's true. It's dead.
It doesn't matter anymore.
No, but I just feel like it's a passing of an era, of a very short, unsuccessful era.
Yeah. Yeah, a bit like Kevin Rudd's first prime ministership.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, I do feel, I mean, I'm still getting comments and seeing posts around the fact that the PvP is in particular a shat off because their ping times have blown out and it's hard to see any upside to that.
No, there isn't. There isn't.
Oh, gosh, I remember when Ion labelled their server Oceanic, even though it was still located in America, and suddenly all these Americans started playing on our server because they knew that the majority of player base will have such a high ping. PPP is, I love PPP, but guys, honestly, drop the ego and just have some fun. I'm sorry, that was a little rant there.
No, that's fair enough. So, yeah, no more so. So make the best of it in the last 24 hours, folks. Or by the time you listen to this, it'll be already gone, probably.
I mean, chances are they're probably already transferred over anyway.
Well, you'd like to think so. I'd say they'd be pretty dead servers by now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. I moved off it, and I mean that's got to be something if I moved off them.
Yeah, I'm a happy resident of the Harbinger.
Hey, that's where I went.
See, now I have no faith in my own memory. I'm sure that's where I went to. That's where the majority transferred to from memory, the Harbinger. Yeah, I'm sure that was it.
That was the only name I remembered, yeah. And I'm like, all right, yeah, might as well move to that one.
So we are such guns at this game. All right, let's move off to Star Wars The Old Republic.
Well, no, hang on. It's probably also worth, by the time you're listening to this, on the 14th, the Bounty Contract Week will be going live. And it's only around for, I think, a week. It's going to be a quickie.
It's only about a week?
Yeah. So it's going to repeat like all of the other ones do, yeah. But it's only going to be around for, well, what does it say? Once per galactic standard month, which is a month. Bounty Brokers Association posts a list of contracts in the Cartel Bazaar section of the fleet, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah. So be ready to pounce. Be ready to crowd that Cartel Bazaar with your stupid Dayglo costumes. Mill around and make it look like something's going on. Go and get those kingpins. I know I'm going to.
Yeah, same. That's good. That's my focus to jump back in. Good stuff. All right, so let's move on to other games. And this is probably we'll do a quick. I mean, Simon, it's been obvious you've played Star Wars, and we'll talk about Anui that you've been playing in a sec. And Christy, I know you've been mostly in Rift, which we'll talk about in a sec. So all I've been doing the last 3 weeks is I've actually got in quite a bit of WoW. So after about a three-month break from WoW, I've jumped back in just to get my second tune, which is a Draenei priest up to 90. He's 89 and a half. So I'm just running a few more dungeons and doing a few more quests to get him up to 90 and a few more pet battles, which I still to this day love, but haven't played any of the 5.3 stuff, and I feel like the game's left me behind as far as the new content, and I can't particularly be asked catching up. And the other game that I play quite a bit of is, thanks to my wonderful nephew, who's 16 and mentioned that he'd got hooked again on Civilization. Now, it's one of those games that I obviously wear as an iconic game, and I have never played it and actually downloaded Civilization V or 5, whatever it is.
Five, probably.
Yeah,
looking really
well, it is
nice.
Actually Civilization V, but yeah, Civilization V.
And have had an absolute ball. I can see why people, you know, have enjoyed the game over the years. So I've been enjoying the hell out of that. So that's just a quick me before we move on. So, Christy, let's talk about the current Rift event that's ongoing, Summerfest.
Summerfest, yes. It's well on the way. I think it started on the 25th and it's moved into... No, it must have started before that because on the 25th it moved into phase two. No, on Friday it moved into phase two. It started about 2 weeks ago. And it's moved in from phase one to phase two, but that doesn't really matter. If you play Rift or you don't play Rift, it is actually free to play now, so you can jump back in. And it's the main thing is the scavenger hunts. So these are quests that are located in each zone, and you're required to do different thing. Some of them are extremely frustrating. Some of them are really, really fun, and some of them are kind of like, okay, yeah, that's it. That's what you want me to do. Like, why? That makes no sense, but okay. So even though it's in part two now, you can actually still do the part one quests so you can get them all done. And with all events in any MMO anywhere, there's outfits, which in this case is bathers. And yes, about half of the ones for the women are bikinis. But you also got to remember that Rift doesn't have boobies, so you got to take what you can get, really.
Absolutely.
But then again, also, Rift has a wonderful costuming system where you can actually walk around without somethings. As one of the guys I was playing with in my guild, who we were doing Rifts for a couple of hours yesterday, and he did it without pants the whole time. Yeah, I don't know, my guildies are a little weird. There's special companions. There's like a little griffin, there's a bird, and there's kind of like a drake serpent thingy. All very cute. All available in the store, or you can buy them with the currency that goes with any event. And the other main thing, I guess, is really the fishing. And I'm guessing because every MMO seems to have fishing, but nobody ever actually enjoys fishing because it's one of those most boring things.
Oh, I love fishing.
That they have to actually make them into events. So, yeah, there's special fishing nodes around where you can fish up fish or leaves, which also go with the dailies because you've always got to have dailies as well. It's pretty fun. It's a good distraction. And since Rift is pretty much mainly about distractions, it works well. So it's kind of like just one extra thing you can get distracted while doing. Like I've just moved into Storm Legion area thanks to my guild that got me up to 50 today. And since I started her only a couple of weeks ago actually, and that's including distractions, it's pretty fast leveling. 60 is the new max at the moment. But, yeah, I actually ended up doing the part one and part two quests in the beginning zone purely by accident. I'm not even halfway through the zone yet. I just came across the little purple exclamation mark and did them. Now, one was jumping through hoops as you went down this waterfall, which sounds actually a lot more fun than it was. And the other one was catching skunks. Yeah.
Catching what, sorry?
Yeah,
catching
sorry.
Skunks.
Okay.
Oh, right. I heard something
black
different.
Black and white.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Skanks.
Yeah.
No. It sounded like something totally different.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on.
Rocket Sarlacc.
Yeah. I'm with the free-to-play system, it's kind of weird. Like, I haven't actually subscribed yet, but I have brought way too many coins. I think I've spent about $60. I hate you, free-to-play stores. I hate you so much. But I actually did end up buying, because you can buy 3-day passes for patronism, which is subscriber, 2 weeks, or you can even buy a month actually within the coin market. So I ended up buying a weekend. I did the Weekend Warrior, which was very expensive, but it gave you some extra boosts. And so now I've just got the 2 weeks and I'll see how I'm going after that. I guess it depends on how much my guildies bug me. And, cause, you know, like all my MMOs, you play for the people. You don't play for the whatever it is.
Yeah, and see, that's where I've fallen down, I think.
What, the lack of friends?
Yeah, lack of friends. And I'm just such a solo player in MMOs most of the time.
And see, that's why you get with a guild that make you get involved.
Oh, like, I'm in a guild and I just ignore them. I love my guild and wow. Big shout out to you, Blackie, which I assume you still listen. Love the guild, but just still don't interact with them.
I couldn't do it. I have to laugh and talk with my friends there, or my internet friends, I call them. So, yeah, I think that's about it. Rift is still the game that it ever was, if you're ever thinking about playing it again. I still love the actual rifts and the world events that happen because they're just – it's such an awesome way to do distractions. I find, like with other games, you tend to have to pick what you want to do and then, you know, go out and do it. Either you're achievement farming or gathering farming or crafting or leveling or whatever, but you pick one thing and you go do it, and then you might pick something else and go do it. When Rift, you kind of pick the location and you just do what happens to get thrown at you, which kind of gets frustrating as well as when you're trying to do your quests and level up and a big event starts and there's like nobody in the zone, including yourself, that wants to do it. So the invasion pretty much takes over the whole zone and you're left kind of going, okay. So sometimes you get caused by the distractions and you have to do them.
There you go. Rift is still going strong. And I don't know, sometimes when you talk about Rift, it sort of reminds me, and I know they're not the same by any stretch, Guild Wars 2, as far as those more ad hoc events. And, you know, they've released some new content recently. And I religiously update my Rift, my Guild Wars 2 client, but just never click the login button. I've got a totally up-to-date client, but I just can never bring myself to hit the login button.
You know, I updated my WoW when my work colleague said he played it, but I too did not log in.
Not enough time.
Yeah. So,
and speaking of not enough time, you've managed to fit in some time to try out something brand new, Simon.
I have, but I actually, when I first saw it, and I'm going to pull us back into SWTOR now. So, never mind. it's a game called Guns of Icarus. It first came out from a small indie developer in New York in 2010, and they updated it again for 2013, updated it quite substantially, and recently had a Kickstarter to add an adventure mode, which was successfully funded. Basically, it's... probably the strongest contender in the underrepresented realm of Zeppelin simulators. Yeah, I'm just letting that sink in. Okay, so what's the basic premise? Basically, it's not PvP, it's more ZvZ, I suppose, Zeppelin versus Zeppelin. So you and up to three friends can crew a Zeppelin, which you can customize it. You can change the loadouts, and there's a variety of them. Some are faster, some are more maneuverable, some are better armored, and so on. So you've got different builds, so you can look at different strategies. You can also take your Zeppelin and team it up with other people. So you can have teams, basically. Teams or like a little fleet of Zeppelins against another little fleet of Zeppelins. So you can have strategies and you can have little ones that whiz around and try and draw fire while you've got the slower, better armored ones coming up and trying to pummel. So, you know, there's a lot of variety there. And as your Zeppelin takes damage, you have to run around and repair things like the engines, the hull, the balloon, the weapons. All at the same time while other teammates are trying to take down the enemy Zeppelins or defend your own team Zeppelins.
So is it a like a first-person perspective, say, like World of Tanks? Like it's screaming out to me, World of Tanks in the air?
Yeah, yeah, it's a bit like that. So, yeah, each of you is in first-person. So, and one of you is steering the thing, or piloting, I suppose, and the others... can be engineers, gunners, and just try and keep the thing in the air and knock everyone else out of it. But the thing that really grabbed me about this, I mean, it's got this whole cool steampunk kind of aesthetic going for it. So that's really neat. But the thing I really thought about when I saw this was, I really, really hope that the Secret Space Project in SWTOR is half this cool, is half this neat. Even more to the point, I thought this would be a really interesting mechanic for guild ship combat.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, particularly with the need to repair stuff, and you could have, yeah, I could see
that. Yeah, exactly, because it's a constant, you've got to really, you can't just stand at a turret and just keep blasting away, because your gun's going to be taking damage, other guns are going to be taking damage, the ship itself is taking damage, so you've got to, and you've got to coordinate with everyone else. So obviously, voice channels are vital here, between actually firing on the enemy and repairing the damage the enemy's doing. And I could just see that working on a larger scale. It just got me excited about if we ever do get guild ships,
yeah,
and what potentially the Secret Space Project could be. Because I mean, God, if they're getting as much money out of the cartel market as we suspect they are, then I'm hoping they've got some really awesome stuff, rather than just repeat events. I'm not even sure that event is an appropriate term for something that keeps coming back with pretty much exactly the same thing,
yeah,
every couple of months. So I really hope that they've got something that's just going to knock our socks off with this.
And so with Guns of Icarus, is it a download, a client, free to play, or web based, or
it's when I had a look at it, it's what is it? You can get it for about $7, 66% off on Steam. It's not a massive client, and you can just jump into quick matches wherever you want, or just get your friends on, or just pilot it yourself, and you'll have three fairly competent AI crewmen wandering around. Well, crew people, because some of the engineers are female, and some of the gunners are female, so it's a equal opportunity Zeppelin for the most part.
I like the sound of it. And yeah, the steampunk thing, if it's done well, is always an added bonus.
Oh, it's just really well done. And considering that it came out of a small studio, it's quite impressive.
Oh, damn you and your good recommendations. And have you been playing any Minecraft?
A little bit. I've been trying to build a rail network, but less said about that, the better.
All right. Cool. All right.
An anorak, what can I say?
So I think that pretty much covers what we had on our running sheet. Was there anything else you wanted to throw in before we wrapped up?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes. Daily specials on the cartel market.
Oh, yeah?
I have them.
Oh, that's incisive and in-depth. Good. Daily well, yeah, even I know there's daily specials.
Yeah, but I just find it, I mean, Musco's saying that we'll try and keep you up to date on what's going on, but the best way is for you to log into the game every day and see what's in the store.
Yeah.
And I'm going, who the hell's got time to do that?
That's true.
You should do it, Simon, and then you can post it on Twitter.
No.
All that stuff, and you can, you know, inform the masses.
I don't need to, because Delph is going to be doing that, and good luck to her. that's not a job I want. But it just occurred to me, I know they've been looking at, or they have hired someone for doing web or mobile applications, but doesn't having daily specials, doesn't that scream something that you put on a web app on your phone, so you could just not only set up your companions to go and do tasks while you're at work instead of working, but also check out the daily specials.
Yeah, agreed.
So that's why, like, Rift has a mobile app, and it has the scratchies. So you get one every hour, and a maximum of six, and you can get free shit, stuff.
Yeah. No, that's. The web,
so you can get crafting stuff or shinies, which are like artifacts that you find and collect, or planetary stuff, planet stuff, which is what you get from doing rifts. So, yeah, three times a day you can get that stuff.
I think that's a great idea, because I've got the misfortune, and anyone who's got the little key fob authenticator has probably found this. Unless you carry the damn thing around with you, you can only check in to the website or to the game when you're at home. I can't check into the website unless I've got this damn thing with me. And I don't want to carry it around with me every day because if I lose it, I'm screwed. It's okay if you've got it on your mobile phone, I suppose, because you can, you know, you've always got that with you. In fact, it's probably not worth getting the key fob because you're better off with the mobile phone one. But so if anyone's thinking about buying the key fob, don't use the one on the phone. It's a bit glitchy, but if you want to be able to check in on the website for any reason, you can't if you've got the authenticator option for the additional 100 cartel coins.
I'd love an app for.
I hope they get the app sorted out.
Yeah, soon. Particularly the companion stuff. You said it because it's one of the things. If you're logging in for a short session, I always forget while I'm playing. Oh, I should have sent out a couple of my companions to do stuff, and I would love that because aside from Civilization and WoW, the thing that I'm addicted to on my phone is a dodgy little. I suppose you call it. Yeah, it is an MMO called King's Empire. A friend of mine recommended, and it's just a total medieval dodgy thing where you know, attack villages and it's all top-down grid-like stuff, but geez, it's fun. And it just makes you realise how, the MMOs need to be really tapping into that market.
Oh, absolutely. They've got to have a mobile component, otherwise they're going to just be a dinosaur. So, yeah, I'm hoping that BioWare really get onto that. And if anyone's listening and wondering why we haven't mentioned the new streaming launcher, we're not talking about it because it's not worth talking about. So there.
And there's also the fact that I'm totally unaware of it. What? What's the streaming launcher? You mean the?
Well, the launcher has a streaming capability now, so that if you're doing a fresh install for a new character, you can start playing. Before the entire download's done.
Yeah, but so it's only, like WoW, yeah.
Yeah, but it only works on low-level characters. If you're doing a fresh install of the game and you've got like a level 40, level 50, it won't work. You have to wait for the whole game to download before you can access those characters in those areas, obviously.
Yeah. Very good. See, I'm on top of the news, and I promise I'll be more on top of it by next episode. Christine, anything... From you?
Yes, Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn, is going into open beta next weekend. So that would be the 17th to the 19th, which I'm thinking is probably late Saturday to Monday for us. And then early access starts the weekend after on the 24th, and the game officially is released on the Tuesday the 27th.
Nice, coming up close. Yeah.
So I've pre-ordered my physical collector's edition box, which I had to order from EB Games because EB Games has an exclusive on it, so you can't buy it from anywhere but EB Games unless you ship it in, and then there's concern over whether or not you'd be able to actually play it on the normal servers that one should be able to play it on. And that was $98. Thank you very much.
It sounds like you're speaking through clenched teeth. I could be wrong.
No, I was completely sincere that whole time. Thank you for noticing.
Right, okay.
That's a nice note to end on. We hate monopolies here.
And I don't mind monopolies when it's in my favour.
I don't like getting the shoe.
Because I was going to buy it from one of those websites. For I think it was only like $60, but then they had a little disclaimer saying that you may not be able to play it with an NA or Australian, Oceanic, whatever it's going to be called, account. You might have to play with the Europeans. And as much as I love the Europeans, they're not the people I want to be playing with.
No, I quite agree. That's the problem I have with PlayStation Home on the PlayStation. But if you think that stuff that you just said and I half listened to is bad, I'll tell you what's really bad. I can't buy the Chromecast.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm sorry. Chromecast?
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you said that. I'm thinking, what? I'm thinking, is that a podcast?
I was
about
waiting
the
for
web
you
browser?
To do some sort of dramatic thing. You're like, oh, no.
I thought you might. No, okay. It's something you plug into your TV, and you you can use your basically you can throw to the Chromecast from your tablet or your iPhone or your Android phone or whatever, and so YouTube or in the case of the US Netflix and a variety of other video streaming video providers. So you can actually have, you know, your YouTube content on your big screen TV. But
oh, I have a boxy for that, and I don't need a tablet.
No, no, you don't need the tablet. Never mind. Google it, folks. Google it. It's going to be the next big thing, and it was only $35.
Chromecast. Oh, check that out.
Oh wow, $35. I was going to say I paid $200 for my boxy. The good thing about the boxy though is that it plays pretty much almost every codec. I haven't had a problem yet trying to find. So all those legitimate downloads from those legitimate websites,
yeah,
you can actually play.
Right. So that's the what, the WD Live box or something.
It's the D-Link Boxy.
Oh, okay, right.
They made a Boxy too, which wasn't so good. So you need to get the original if you want that sort of open source codec thing going on. But yeah, it's hard to find, and it's unfortunately starts at $200. So that Chromecast kind of sounds pretty good considering price wise.
Yep, shall be checking that out. And look, digital's better than analog. I just a very brief anecdote about how I hate analog technology. I was walking around at Myer or something the other weekend, and there were a couple of the Game of Thrones books. And I emphasise in a minute I'm about to do a huge spoiler for those that haven't read the books. So does that include anyone? Does that include you, Christy or Simon? Because you might want to block your ear.
Oh, no, I've read them.
Okay.
No, I'll take my headphones off.
All right, I'll give you an advance warning. But just the whole fact the books and the promos that do obviously on the back of the book about what's contained in the book, and knowing that a lot of people are watching the TV show but haven't read the book, I picked up this book just for interest to say, oh, yeah, roughly where in the chronology of Game of Thrones is it? And the first sentence says, and this is where you take your headphones off, Simon. The first sentence says, Tyrion Lannister has killed his father. And I go, what? Because Tywin Lannister is probably my favourite character in the whole TV show. I've loved him to bits, everything I've seen so far. Simon, you can put it back on now. And I was just devastated. So I just hate analog technology like books now, because it's like I really didn't need to know that.
I know a book told me that, spoiler alert, Darth Vader was Luke Skywalker's father. I found that out in a book in Wickles before I saw the movie. I was a little pissed off.
Now, what I'll be really amused by is if we have complaints on this podcast, not about my Game of Thrones spoiler, but about the one you just gave, that would make my century. That would just be great.
I gave a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I'm guiltless. Guiltless, I say.
That's funny.
Oh, it's so frustrating with Game of Thrones because half my friends have read the book, the other half watch it, and then there's the other half that haven't actually read anything. And, you know, I was like going, oh, if you thought the Red Wedding was shocking, well, wait to blah, 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 thinking they had read the books. And then they were like, oh!
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, I just killed your firstborn, didn't I?
Yeah, it's not good. Damn
it's hard to keep track. Honestly, we should have tattooed on our foreheads, like, you know, have read the books or are watching the TV show or something like that. And it's hard to keep track.
Yeah.
Should be on a T-shirt. Everything should be on a T-shirt. Especially epic purple T-shirts.
Yes, I've worn mine a couple of times. And I've worn the Dalaran University one.
I wore it to work. One person got the joke. Everyone else just was going, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And my standard response is, you're too stupid to live, go away.
But see, I'm literally wearing, as we speak, my King's Mouth Lighthouse T-shirt, and I love the fact that no one, basically, I've ever run across knows what it's about. I'm sure they believe there's a real King's Mouth. And just to briefly speak about the secret world, nothing, it's just status quo, games going well, no huge updates in the last few weeks, in case you hadn't realised.
So. Yeah, I logged in. And I had so many coins, or whatever you call them, but they had nothing for me to buy, so I was quite disappointed.
Yeah.
I've dyed my hair now, so I've actually got the same colour as my character who was willing the belly dancing costume. So I'm like, Man, it's like I've actually made a twin now. It's horrible.
Yes.
Although, granted, she's way better looking, but yeah.
That's what toons are for, to make us all feel beautiful. Yeah. All right.
I've got bigger boobs, so I win there.
Yeah, see, that's a matter of graphics. All right, let's wrap it up there. Thank you for listening. I apologize for the 3-week delay. That was totally my doing. Next fortnight, we may add a fourth person, one of our infrequent cast members. I haven't asked any of them yet, but I thought we might ask Matthew or that other guy who I always forget and give the TeamSpeak server a go before I do him. I'm not even going to mention him by name because I've just...
Phrasing.
Yeah. No, we might have Mark Duncan on as well. I haven't asked either Mark or Matthew, but we'll see. And so, yeah, we'll be back in a fortnight. In the meantime, we'd love your feedback at contact@oceanicgamer.com. Another apology, the website hasn't been updated as frequently as far as broader MMO gaming stories, just because, again, of the same reasons the podcast has been very busy in other aspects of the life. So, but please don't see that as the site decreasing its focus, because it's not. It's just a temporary glitch. Twitter.
Yeah, I must admit, first, my now I'm doing full-time uni and full-time work. It's yeah. It's suddenly like, oh.
Yeah. So, exactly right. Twitter.com/TheOceanicGamer. Same for our Facebook page. Simon's Twitter handle, which I can't emphasize enough, is great. I literally get half my gaming news for the week off Simon's Twitter, which is RPGBeatsRL. And Christy's Twitter handle is Evil Crispy Cream with a K on both the crispy and the cream, as you might expect. And that'll do. And we'd love your ratings on iTunes. Our last one was May 2012, so it's starting to look a bit sad. And, I mean, we've had lovely, lovely ratings, no complaints there, but we'd love if some other people jumped in. And I'd be pleased to know that our listenership has grown by 5% just in the last month.
Wow.
Maybe we need to start putting the show on something like Stitcher as well, and give it a new venue for people to ignore it on.
Yeah, I'm always up for that. Always up for that. So
and if I was just going to say, if any of our wonderful listener wants us to give them a shout out, by all means, just message, tweet, or throw a rock through our window, and we shall do that.
And we've got an open invitation for any guild that wants to get on and have a chat about their guild and what they're up to in any game, but particularly Star Wars: The Old Republic, but any game. So
we guarantee we won't make you look stupid, because that's physically impossible.
Exactly. Thanks, folks. Great. So, yeah, I've said it 4 times now. I'll say it again. We'll be back in a fortnight, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.